If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
There she is. Hey guys, why is that making noise? What is that about? Oh, I know why. I'm dumb. All right, well anyway, it's us.
Hey
man,
that was 100% no echo.
With the, well, we don't know.
I'm saying it now so that if people hear an echo, that's their fault. It's not us.
It's you. Fault. I would love to blame you guys.
Yes.
As long as I don't have to take any blame.
It would make our lives so much easier, honestly. Yes. Just shift the blame to someone else.
Hello, everybody. We're here. It's Wolf Den Podcast. It's Tuesday.
Yes. You know what that means.
It's 8-ish o'clock.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm late.
Which means it's Wolf Den
Podcast. Bedtime routine ran a little long. Somebody was very upset I had to go run and do a podcast.
Anyway, oh boy howdy, did a lot happen.
Yes,
in the past week.
A surprising amount. We had like nothing last week, and then all of a sudden, oh, we gotta release news.
Yeah, I forgot. I wanted to bring this up. Last week we said nothing happened. And apparently I'd never read comments.
Yeah,
I don't know what made me decide to read the comments from last week.
Yeah,
there were a couple that were upset that we said that nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
Because I had announced that I had left the Nintendo podcast.
Right.
And I know that none of you people care that I'm not on the Nintendo podcast. I think what happened was people from the Nintendo podcast were looking for more information.
Okay.
So they came to this podcast.
Right.
I had already explained myself on the Nintendo podcast and will probably be explaining myself for the next month while
right.
I continue to do
that.
Yeah. So I don't want to do that again.
Okay.
This will be business as usual. I just wanted to say, yeah, I left the Nintendo podcast. Go fucking watch that episode if you want to hear more about that. Holy shit.
Anyway. And then wait 6 months for my drama video to drop about the whole thing.
Anyway, you people here in the live chat, you people who come to the Wolf Den podcast all the time, love you so much.
Yeah.
You guys know what's up. You guys are good. We like you. Everything's great. Anyway, yeah. Nothing happened last week. This week, everything happened.
Yes.
All right. Anyway. Hi. Oh, well, we're going to talk about what the kids really want for Christmas this year.
Yes, because I don't know if you know this, everybody, but it's December. It's Christmas time, or Hanukkah, if that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Did that start?
I think so.
I don't know how that works.
Our Jewish friends in the chat, please let us know. So yeah, it's the holiday season.
Thursday,
okay. People want games for Christmas, but the youngins...
Oh, your camera's frozen.
Okay, yeah. I knew I should have worn my hat. I can see why I cut my hair.
There you go. There you're okay. Back. You're a little out of focus.
That's fine. Story of my life. So everyone wants games this holiday season, but the youngins want different things for their games. And we'll get into that when we discuss
it.
But first, it's the first Tuesday of the month, which means if you are subscribed to PlayStation Plus, you get yourself some free games, buddy.
Free games.
Yeah.
There's also another one I added, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
PlayStation Plus, free game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we don't do Xbox anymore because they don't do it anymore.
No, they just have Game Pass Core, which is 25 games, like, permanently. Mm-hmm. Not permanently. They'll, like, cycle games in and out. When they start to add new games to Game Pass Core, we will update you people. But PlayStation.
Why is my Ember mug not turning on?
I don't know. Is it desynced? Or does it need a charge?
I guess.
I don't know. Tell you what, though.
Also, why is my phone connected as a microphone to my MacBook? Everything sucks.
Tell you what, though. This ScreenWave cup that you offloaded on me, it's actually great.
I gave you a ScreenWave
cup? Yeah, it keeps things hot and cold. Like,
when did I give you that?
I don't know. You're just like, here, I don't want this.
You know,
I'm Bob Wolf. I don't want this shit.
You know, ScreenWave's in a lot of trouble right now.
Oh.
Did you watch H Bomber Guy's video?
Yes, I was actually really happy.
ScreenWave is in it.
I was actually really happy the GTA trailer dropped last night, so I had all day to watch this one. I mean, great video. It didn't have to be 4 fucking hours long.
It could have been 20 minutes.
Yeah. But yes, I did see the ScreenWave.
I did watch all 4 hours of it. I think I finished it today. It took me 3 or 4 days.
I like skipped through a bunch of it. Todd in the Shadows, who I follow regularly, had a follow-up video going over with the main subject of the video, James Stanton.
I don't remember
all of his like lies and like incorrect stuff, and that was like an hour and a half.
Okay,
so I watched it all. I'm all up to date. But yes, I did see H Bomber Guy's video and your management being featured.
Yes, ScreenWave is our management company, and they are in that video because they kind of took over some work on Angry Video Game Nerd stuff.
They took over pretty much his channel.
Yeah. And they're not, people aren't very happy about their work on his channel. So that was fun. That was fun. I was like, oh, I know that guy. Oh no. But anyway,
yes.
What happened? Okay, free games.
December PlayStation Plus games starting today. You can get Lego 2K Drive for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. You can get Power Wash Simulator on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
I didn't know that was on PlayStation.
Oh, it is now. And Sable for the PlayStation 5.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sable. Oh, I wanted to try that.
Yeah, not a bad month. It's a, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a mid-tier month, but it's not like, you know, we didn't get any AAA
games. It's okay.
Yeah. We got a good selection of games. We got a fun arcade racing game. We got Power Wash Simulator.
Flo says Lego 2K Drive is a great game. Is it like Burnout? It's looking a little bit
I hope
like
it's
it.
Like Burnout. There aren't as many good like arcade racing games anymore.
Yeah. Sable, I want to try. It's very Mobius looking.
Yes.
Okay. Not a bad month, I'd say. There is some more free games you can get if you have a Nintendo Switch Online.
Oh.
In Europe.
Oh.
I'd imagine this should come to everybody. Usually they're just late. But yeah, this is a Suica game. I like Suica game.
Okay.
You don't know anything about Suica
game. I don't know anything about Suica game.
This is a big like stream game.
Okay.
It's a puzzle game. It's basically Puyo Puyo, but it's physics based.
Oh, okay.
So like the fruits can move around and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But it is the next free game trial. So it's not a free game completely, but the trial is free from the 7th to the 11th. So basically this weekend in Europe so far confirmed. Suica game.
But those free game trials, like you can basically play the whole game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For the weekend, yeah. You can play Suica game for free. Stop it. And it's great. I played it. It's very, actually, I don't think I played the Switch version. I played a browser one, which is worse, and I played the Pico 8 version, which is okay.
Okay.
But this looks really good. So give it a try this weekend. If you're in the EU, I'd imagine again that it might get announced for America soon. Because it'd be weird if only Europe got that free game trial. And that's it for your free games.
Okay.
Also, Apple Arcade, we're getting the Sonic game soon.
Yes.
Right? When is that?
Today, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I subscribed to Apple Arcade just to play that game, and I haven't played it yet.
I'm going to download it right now.
Yeah. I've heard it's good.
Sonic. It's like a full-ass Sonic game.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want Sonic Drive-Thru. I don't want Sonic Dash.
It's Sonic Dream something. It's on my phone.
Go Sonic Go MLG.
No.
It's like one of the top searches.
Yeah. No.
What'd you say, Sonic Dream?
Sonic Dream something.
Wasn't that the name of one of the fan games? Sonic Dream Team.
Yes, that's it.
All right, downloading it. Yeah, there was like a Sonic Dream like fan game that was really fucked up.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's weird that
yeah.
they went with that name. Anyway, let's hear about what all the kids want for Christmas.
Yes. So, the Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, our best friends,
we
sarcastic. The ESA shares recommendations for parents to help keep families safe, safely and responsibly enjoying video games. The Electronic Entertainment Association, ESA, surveyed U.S. adults and children ages 10 to 17 to find out what Americans are asking for this holiday season and learned that kids are most likely to ask their parents they are most likely to ask their parents for video game related presents, about 72%. Requests for video game gifts are followed closely by money/gift cards, 70%, clothes/accessories, 66%, and electronics/tech items, such as phones and smartwatches, at 62%. Fewer wish lists include physical toys
and
games.
I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
That doesn't equal 100%.
I think it's, you know, you could probably pick like multiple things. So like one kid said, I want video game related stuff. I want gift cards. I don't know any kid who wants clothes.
I know. I'm shocked that that is so high.
I still get mad when I get clothes for Christmas.
I don't mind the clothes.
Fewer wish lists will include physical toys and games, tickets and experiences, arts and crafts, and books.
26% books.
Yeah. 38%.
Nerds. 36% nerds.
38% only want physical toys and games.
That's pretty low.
That's interesting.
That's pretty low.
The majority of both girls, 59%, and boys, 86%, say they plan to ask for video game gifts for the holidays, with the top five specific asks being for game subscriptions at 39%, game consoles at 38%, Game Gear / accessories, 32%.
They can't write that.
The Game Gear is coming back. We win. The Sega kids win.
They can't do that.
In-game currency at 29% and physical video games at 22%.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, about one in three adults say they plan to buy video game gifts for themselves or others this holiday, with the number jumping to 57% for parents. Adults who say they will be buying video game related presents are planning to spend an average of $485. $485
on Christmas.
On these gifts.
They're going to spend $500,000 on Christmas.
They're going to spend $485 on these gifts.
I want to be their kids.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then the rest of the article is just about how you can use the ESRB ratings and parental locks and stuff.
I'm not surprised. Digital's been growing. I've been surprised at how slow digital sales have been going. I thought it would have been a lot quicker, especially this generation.
Especially because, like, you know, stores that are getting rid of their physical movies mm-hmm. are keeping their physical games to sell.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of parents like to actually give their kids a physical thing as a gift, and like it's easier for people to just like grab it in a store and give to somebody rather than like a gift card.
I'd be interested to see how much things like the Steam Deck and PC handhelds contribute to the rise of digital media, because there is no disc drive, right?
Well, I think the fact that like the PS4 and the Xbox One since day one you can download the games in addition to buying them physically, I think that went a long way to like, because that's over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
That went a long way to like establishing this new normal that we're in.
I think the next console is a big possibility that there's no drive at all. And we saw Xbox was thinking about it. I've been doing gift guides for Christmas the last couple of years, like a video on like what to buy for like the gamer. And for the past couple of years, I have not talked about any games specifically.
Yeah.
I think buying a game for somebody who plays video games is tough, because they probably, if they want it, they have it already.
Yeah.
Even a kid knows what they want. They know what they want to play. You can't just buy a, I mean, they, I guess if they're young enough, you can just buy a game and be like, here.
Yeah.
You know, but or if they're not that into games, mm-hmm. you can just buy a game and be like, here. But for the most part, especially if you're watching a Wolf Den video, I feel like you're gonna probably they're probably gonna have what they want already. Yeah. You know? So I've been saying that people should just get an eShop card or a gift card or something.
I'm surprised also too that in-game currency ranks higher than physical games. So, I mean, because like Fortnite and Roblox, those are like the two biggest games in the world, and they basically run on in-game currency. So it makes sense that like that would be, but that feels like very specific, you know?
I think they just make so much money.
Yeah.
They sell so much in-game currency that it just eclipses physical game sales.
Right. But also too, like, you have to know the kid is playing Fortnite. It's pretty, you know, safe to reason if the kid has a Nintendo, you can just get the Nintendo gift card and that covers everything. Whereas like a V-Bucks gift card, that's like very specific to that one game.
Oh, you're saying that you would expect a specific console to eclipse V-Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you use an eShop gift card to buy V-Bucks on a Switch?
I don't see why not, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't play Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I mean, I would imagine, like, I mean, the way it works on Apple, I mean, that's why they got sued, was because you have to give them a kickback.
Mm-hmm.
Lord DC says you can. Okay.
Okay.
Wolf Den Dad in the chat is just going on about the wind tower suites and the net jet. Holy shit.
I'm going to put him on blast in the chat right now because he texts us in a separate family group outside of the regular family chat that
we have. We're starting.
So because I asked my wife if she saw it and she said no. And I'm like, oh, this is for original wolves only. I guess you and Hannah are not a part of this.
Wait.
This is like last week.
Okay.
When he asked for that tire pump that he wanted.
Oh, okay.
Basically, he wants a toy. So I responded, okay, since we were saying what we want, I want the McFarlane Toys 89 Batmobile that comes with the Michael Keaton Batman figure. It's the same price as your pump, but my response was, oh, ask Santa for it. Dad, I'm 36 years old. I know Santa Claus isn't real.
What?
So...
You have a child. I don't.
It's important that they know the truth now so that they're not disappointed later
in life. You're not raising your kids in a world where Santa exists.
I'm not raising... Yes.
I was going to get him the tire pump that I have because I got one and it's awesome. But then it's more expensive. So, anyway.
Now everyone's mad at me for breaking this...
Will likes to spoil things on the Wolf Den podcast. Yeah. The newest one is that Santa's real. Wait till you hear about the Easter Bunny. Wait till you hear about how the angry video game nerd doesn't write some stuff anymore.
good times.
We were talking about digital media.
Yes.
I'm not surprised V-Bucks is eclipsing every other digital game sales.
I mean, the number one most specific thing people are asking for is game subscriptions. Now, I'm imagining that means your Game Pass, your PlayStation Plus.
So, if I was a kid, like, you know, that doesn't have a job, I would also want that. Like, you want to be able to play with your friends and stuff. I mean, a lot of games you could play without that. But I'm an adult with my own income, so I can have all of these subscription services and not have to think about it. But, like, a child would have to be like, oh, I only have, like, a month left in my... PlayStation Plus or whatever.
Counterpoint to that, I'm an adult who can buy all this stuff, and yet I don't because they're very expensive nowadays.
Yeah. So I have to reevaluate.
My Xbox, my Game Pass Core, as it's now called, lapsed. I didn't renew it. But the games I claimed previously are still showing up in my library. Are those just going to go away?
Your Game Pass games? Or
my
Xbox?
Games with gold.
Oh, no, those should be good.
But the Xbox One games, if I try to download those, I shouldn't be able to play them. But they're still showing up in my library.
Why shouldn't you be able to play them?
Because I don't have Game Pass anymore.
You keep saying Game Pass. You mean
it's confusing.
You mean Xbox Gold?
Yeah, I don't have Xbox Gold anymore, which became Game Pass Core.
I thought Game Pass. Oh, God. I thought Xbox Live Gold was unique in that you just needed Xbox Live for the month the game was out, and then you could download it and just play it.
It's like, it was like PlayStation Plus in that...
I thought one of them was different. One of them you needed to hold on to the subscription, and one of them you didn't need to hold on to it.
No, they both work the same way in that for the duration of the month that the game is available, as long as you get it within that month, you get the game... for as long as you're subscribed. Once your subscription lapses, you lose access to the game. Mm-hmm. But the games are still showing up in my library. I thought they would just disappear.
I mean, try to play one.
Okay.
I think for Xbox, you keep it. And for PlayStation, you lose it.
That's for Xbox 360 games, you keep it. Because they weren't able to implement a proper DRM when the 360 was out.
Okay, we'll try it. Mm-hmm. Go home and try it.
Maybe I will.
This is why we were a PlayStation family, but now PlayStation's online service is trash. Why? Because it's less confusing? Because it's not.
I mean, they've always been trash compared to like Xbox Live. In the grand scheme of things.
In what way? I agree, but you need
server
to explain.
Reliability, features being offered, especially on the PlayStation 3. It's like little things like that.
Yeah. And the free games and stuff. But Xbox started to get a lot worse really quick. Anyway, we got a lot of notifications that I didn't read in the beginning. DJ Skeletor, thank you for 5 whole gifted subs. Ray Zeflin, thanks for the 58 months. It's Wednesday, my dudes. Kreegasm, which is a Twitch emote.
Oh, boy.
Will for some of us. Well, for some of us. It's Wednesday for some. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hello. Well, thank you. Just piling up. Thanks for the 19 months. Hi, bros. Hi. Razzle Jazzle. Thanks for the 38 months. DJ Skeletor. Thanks for 100 bits. Again, Gamer Lady. Thanks for 26 months. Wolf Den Podcast. One of my favorite podcasts. Keep it going. This one is going to keep going.
Yeah.
Caleb Fox. Thanks for the 17 months. I'm joining late, so I might have missed it, but KOTOR is currently free on Prime Gaming.
Oh.
We need to start including other stuff.
There's so many of them now, though. There's Prime. There's Epic. I'm sure Ubisoft gives away free games.
Maybe we should only include it if there's something good.
Yeah.
J Guy. Thank you for the 11 months. I appreciate it. Anyway, so yeah. Again, I always recommend just getting gift cards for people. There's plenty of like accessories and stuff that I'm sure the gamer in your life probably doesn't have. But yeah. I don't think I'm gonna do a gift guide this year because I'm already late and there's already too many things that I need to talk about.
Yeah,
there's too many products that came out that I'm all backed up on. So I'm.
You can do a TikTok or a YouTube short.
I might do
get gift cards.
Maybe yeah, right. Maybe I will do that.
Yeah, see, I got it.
I might have to do some shorts on some of the like retro handhelds that I didn't get to make a video on because I have a stack of them. Yo, Bob, so you're the emulator guy, right? I found an emulator at Walmart for $10 and was excited to put my own games on it to see how well it would work. Then I realized after taking it apart that it had no SD card, so now I'm sad. Well, it was $10.
Yeah, and you could probably find an SD card at Walmart for $10.
No. You can't even... I know what he's talking about.
Oh.
You can't even put one in there.
Oh.
It's those things are garbage.
Mm.
$10 though. So. Anyway. All right. So I guess that's all we need to talk about with what kids want these days. Kids want gift cards.
Yes.
Kids want the freedom to buy whatever they want.
Yes.
So don't try to buy them something. Let them buy themselves something. We can move on to the biggest news.
Yes, the actual biggest news.
The actual biggest news.
The GTA 6 trailer came out. It was supposed to come out today, but apparently got leaked last night. And so Rockstar's like, well, it leaked, so here it is.
Yeah, that was a crazy couple hours on Twitter. Everybody go nuts about it. It had... Where's the official one? There's... You know, I'm curious to see what GameSpot and IGN re-uploaded it. I still don't really know exactly why they do that or how that works.
Yeah.
If they get paid to do that, if they just do it and there's like an understanding that like it's okay for them to do that.
Yeah.
Or if they're asked to do that.
I'm sure PlayStation and Xbox, their YouTube channels probably also have it because it's going to be on those systems.
Yeah, well, that I understand because it's like a partnership. Well, the Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer has 95 million views.
Yes.
As of one day. It hit a couple tens of millions in like less than an hour.
Yeah.
So this might have broken a couple of records.
I think it did. I forgot the specific one that it did, but I think it's like right behind like a BTS music video for like the most views in like 24 hours.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Here it is. It looks great. Yes. Looks beautiful.
It is back in Vice City, Rockstar's pastiche parody creation of Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. I believe you get access to an entire state.
An entire... Well,
Grand Theft Auto 5 was in San Andreas. Yeah. San Andreas is the entire state. They call it a state.
Okay.
So I think this is going to be similar. You get access to maybe not a whole state, but like most of a state.
Okay. It looks like there. I saw that there were pictures of like the bridge to Key West.
Yeah.
So you get like a Key West-esque kind of area. There are a lot of cell phone videos.
Yeah.
Of real Florida men.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That sounds like a lawsuit.
People are already speculating that a big feature of this game is going to be like social media posting. Because you do see a lot of like, it looks like, you know, TikToks and like Instagram videos and stuff.
Yeah.
So that might be a factor into gameplay. You see for the first time a female protagonist who's going to be a main player, and it looks to be featuring like a Bonnie and Clyde style love story. Which is her and her partner.
That's interesting because the last game had three characters and this only has two.
Yeah.
But I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, scaling it down. If they scale it down to two characters, that probably means there's more you can do in the world, which has always been like the main focus of the game.
They also have seemed to have kept a lot of their humor. There's a lot of like little things that are like silly goofy. Like, yeah. A lot of the like billboards and stuff are like a little silly. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, there's like nice lighting and stuff, but really, this just looks like Grand Theft Auto 5. I gotta be honest, it looks like the same.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting like big revelations in this trailer, like, you know, anything that they could add or change or whatnot. Like, at a certain point, Grand Theft Auto is gonna be Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only so much you can do to it, you know, and still have it be, you know, GTA. I mean, aside from like the social media stuff, I don't really see anything that's dramatically different from what Grand Theft Auto 5 was, or even Grand Theft Auto 4, you know?
Yeah, no, this I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 specifically because of it was a lot more recent, but
yeah.
I think there's something about the animation. Okay, it just goes right to the girl's ass.
Yeah.
But there's something about the animations and the way that people move that's very Grand Theft Auto and takes you out of the realism of how nice the world looks. Like, the animations aren't great.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, all of the other visuals. Something's, like, off.
Well, it's still like, you know, the Rage engine, I'm assuming, you know, which has been their engine since, you know, Rockstar Table Tennis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing that powered Red Dead Redemption 2, which still had like that Rockstar movement in GTA 5. So,
right.
I mean, this is the best that engine has looked from a visual standpoint. Maybe not so much
as just
like
lighting,
character animation.
Yeah. It looks great though.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic.
It'll be very good. But all the way at the end, they say coming 2025.
Yes.
Which is a while.
It's been confirmed it's coming out for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. Has not been confirmed for PC yet, which probably won't happen for a while.
That's upsetting, because that's where I want to play it. And yeah, Rockstar has been known to drag their feet on the PC version.
Yeah, which is surprising.
But I think it's because of cheaters.
Probably.
Yeah. So that's I don't like that. I don't like that I'm going to have to get it on a console and then... I don't want to buy it again. So if I get it on Xbox, I'm only going to play it on Xbox.
Right.
I'm not going to even bother. Although there might be some
crossplay
with PC.
There probably have some crossplay at this point.
Well, Doesn't Grand Theft Auto, isn't that part of
the Rockstar Social Network?
Weren't they on Epic? I think they were on the Epic Game Store.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Actually, I think it was like free on the Epic Game Store, and that's why I have it.
Yeah. The press release also had a brief description of the game itself. Grand Theft Auto 6 heads to the state of Leonida, home to the neon-soaked streets of Vice City and beyond, in the biggest, most immersive evolution of the Grand Theft Auto series yet. So that leads me to believe that like Vice City is only one location, and then that there will be other cities. We're going to get Tom Petty coming, like, demonetize us with his zombie hands. Keep playing that. That leads me to believe there's going to be, like, other cities that you can, like, fuck around and beyond Vice City.
The GameSpot trailer has 17 million views, and the IGN only has 3.
But, like, the official has, like, what? Like
95
million.
Yeah. Will we see Wolf Den Dad in the game? Potentially.
Very, very possible.
Very possible. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. We're not going to see much about it for a really long time.
Yeah.
It said 2025. I would imagine it would be somewhere around like March, because it has to... it seems like they're targeting the fiscal year 2024.
Uh-huh.
Which ends at the end of March 2025.
See, I would assume, you know, fall, only because GTA 5 came out in like October when it came out. I mean, it's Rockstar. I don't think they care. Mm-hmm. Take Two probably cares, their parent company. But
well, they're the ones who said they're going to make $1.6 billion in the next year.
True.
Do they think they're going to make that off of pre-orders?
Maybe.
Is that even possible? Don't they not get that company? No. Don't they not get that money?
No, not until the game actually comes out.
Yeah. So it's also possible that they're targeting March and they miss it.
Yeah.
But that would upset a lot of people, I'm sure. They bought 5M, the mod scene going to be interesting if it can support console. They also, I don't know who 5M is, but they bought the company that does the there's this thing called NoPixel. It's like the server where they do the role playing, and they bought that company that like does that.
Yeah.
So, or they're working with them or something weird. So like, there's gonna be some wacky like online role playing. That's 5M. Okay, it's 5M. We're talking about the same thing. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be very good. I hope the online comes out when the game comes out. That would be nice. Yeah. But I don't know. I also hope it's not going to be $100, but I think it might be.
There, I mean, $100. It's looking likely, but we'll see. I hope not.
They could get away with having Grand Theft Auto 6 and then Grand Theft Auto Online, having them make two different games and selling them both for $70. And I feel like people wouldn't be as upset as if they said that Grand Theft Auto 6 was all of it and cost, you know, over $70. But yeah, I wonder when we will find that out.
Probably, you know, we're probably not going to hear anything more about this game probably until 2025, honestly. They're going to be radio silent on this for another whole year.
Yeah, there's so much hype around this, and they really didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
They should have just, it probably would have leaked.
I think that's the thing. There have been like all these like leaks and stuff previously. So they probably like, we got to do something. We just got to like give them something to shut them up. That's the problem with like the games industry and like media industry in general. Like they make everything so secret, but like you don't give us anything. And that's how like rumors and conspiracy theories start to spread. You know, the less and less you give us, the more and more we're going to like run wild with like baseless accusations and like thought.
Or try to find something. Yeah.
So like, we understand like the need for secrecy, but like there's only so much.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of YouTubers dissecting the hell out of this trailer.
I saw a Polygon posted a video. It's like all the different people like, oh, 10 Easter eggs in the GTA 6 trailer, 20 Easter eggs, 100 Easter eggs in the GTA 6 trailer.
I mean, it's got 95 million views in a day. I mean, it would behoove you to jump on that bandwagon. Yeah.
I'm reading, I just saw this right now, Linda Yaccarino, the woman who they said to run Twitter, but really she's just Elon Musk's, like, you know, in case everything goes wrong, he can blame her.
Okay.
Poor woman. I feel so bad for her. She asked Rockstar to post the trailer on Twitter, like, properly, to the point where people found out that, like, in replies to the original post, like, the Rockstar's post is gone. Like, they're hiding it. So you have to actually, like, go to their Twitter account directly. Like, you don't see it in a normal feed.
What's the... You don't see their trailer?
You don't see the trailer. Because they posted a link to YouTube.
That's fucked up.
And then eventually, Rockstar did post the trailer on Twitter directly.
They should have said no. They should have said, fuck you.
Well...
They don't need to do that.
As Brian Altano pointed out on Twitter, this is... you know, Rockstar is the same company that... you know, puts a Twitter parody in the game called Twatter.
Yeah.
So obviously they do not care. They will probably continue to make fun of this company in their game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they should. There was a moment there where they could have done a big old fuck you.
Yeah.
Because there's no benefit to putting that trailer on. Yeah.
Especially when so many companies are like, not doing that.
Yeah.
For very specific reasons.
Also, there's a weird thing on Twitter where you put a video up and people can repost the video, but it doesn't count as a retweet. It gets embedded in it. That's weird. Yeah. It seems like other people are reposting it. Anyway. That's Grand Theft Auto 6. I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah. Imagine if it sucks.
That'd be awesome. That'd be so great.
This game is bad.
I mean, it'd be like Starfield. Everybody waits fucking 10 years for this game to come out, and then it comes out and it sucks.
No, there's a big difference between, like, Starfield sucking and then Grand Theft Auto 6 sucking.
Yeah, it's the difference between the biggest game of all time and the second biggest game of all time. Elder Scrolls is one of the, isn't it one of the top 10 best-selling games of all time?
Elder Scrolls, not Starfield.
Yeah, same company. All right, who's the old Rockstar Games?
All right,
who's
Rockstar
Dan, Dan Houser's
Rockstar co-founder thing? Dan Houser's next projects are a graphic novel and an audio drama. Absurd Ventures, the new creative studio from Rockstar Games co-founder and ex-creative director Dan Houser, has announced its first projects. As it happens, neither of them are video games. The first of these two new universes is called American Caper, which will debut as a graphic novel. That's a pretentious word for comic book. It will focus on two normal but damaged families who are mired in a world of corrupt business, inept politics, and bungled crime. Comic book artist Simon Beasley, who's done ABC Warriors and Lobo, will be illustrating the graphic novel. That's a good get. The other project is a 12-episode audio drama that's already in production. A Better Paradise is described as a near-future existential suspense thriller. Absurd Ventures is working with well-regarded audio company Q-Code Media on the project. Absurd Ventures plans to reveal more details about both projects in the coming months. However, referring to both American Caper and A Better Paradise as universes suggests that the company has plans to expand them into transmedia enterprises, which may include video games. Meanwhile, we're just days away from the first proper glimpse of what has been keeping Houser's former colleagues at Rockstar busy, the GTA 6 trailer, which we just talked about.
Yeah, this seems to me like they are trying to come up with some creative works that they can then spin off into a video game situation.
Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, why not just start with video games? But
yeah,
I mean, Dan Houser is used to working on it with absurd budgets and absurd teams. Absurd meaning like the size of them. He probably doesn't have that right now.
Yeah.
So he's probably like, it makes sense to start small and then work your way up to a video game.
Yeah, and have like a little proof of concept or something.
Yeah.
Take-Two did this with comic books. They started a comic book arm to try to make stuff that will eventually turn into video games. I don't think any of those comics ever made it to
I don't think
video game
so either.
So, and I'm pretty sure they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what Dan Houser's doing, in case you were a big Dan Houser fan.
Yeah.
When you play this new Grand Theft Auto 6 and you realize it sucks, you could be like, oh, I wonder what Dan Houser's doing.
I mean, this will be the interesting real heart because of Grand Theft Auto 6 is like, is missing Dan Houser, is missing Laszlo Jones, is missing Leslie Benzie.
You know a lot of names.
Yeah, I know people. It's missing a lot of people who like made the previous Grand Theft Auto games, like, you know, as popular as they were.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if, you know, the game can stand on its own. or if those people were integral to the making of them.
I mean, there's thousands of people working on these games.
Right.
Now.
But there's still, like, you know, few hands that, like, guide the project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were, like, hundreds of people worked on Metal Gear Solid, but Kojima is the one that kept that ship, you know, in the right direction.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about how upset Sega is about Sonic Superstars.
Yeah, Sega says Sonic Superstars had a weaker start than anticipated. Sega has stated that Sonic Superstars didn't sell as well as it hoped during its release period. During a financial results briefing presentation held this month, Sega Sammy Holdings president and group CEO Haruki Satomi said the game had a weaker start than Sega had planned, but hoped that things would eventually pick up. Sonic Superstars was released in October, which was a slightly weaker start than we anticipated, he said. But in reality, when Sonic IP sells the most is mainly November to December, and more than 90% of this title's market cost will be spent in the Thanksgiving and holiday season from November onwards. Although in the financial results announced today, we are forecasting this title's sales slightly weaker with the view of the status of... With the view of the status of start mentioned above, we plan to continue our marketing efforts to sell on the same level as Sonic Frontiers. In a Q&A session following the presentation, Satomi was asked why he felt Sonic Superstars sales have been lower than expected. Satomi replied that the game had been released during a busy period, but that he was hopeful it could continue to sell because of the generally positive reception from critics and players. We believe that the impact of other companies' major titles released at the same time is significant, but we plan to expand the promotion towards the holiday season, especially in the overseas market. Both the Metacritic score and the user score are higher than Sonic Frontiers, and we would like to continue to sell firmly. Sonic Superstars has a 76 Metacritic score on Xbox Series X, 73 on PS5, and 71 on Switch, with the average user rating of 8.8 out of 10.
And now what does Frontiers have?
I don't know. I mean, Frontiers. 76 is not bad for a 2D Sonic game.
71 for Frontiers.
Wow.
This is a worse game than Frontiers, like, objectively. So I saw the headline on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The headline was, Sega has admitted Sonic Superstars sales are lower than expected and pinned the blame on going up against other big names. And then I tweeted, I think the game would have sold a lot better if it was a better game. I don't know, just a thought. And then I muted the tweet. But I came back and there are people who really like Sonic.
Yeah.
I really like Sonic. And I will tell you, this was not good.
I mean, I think the big thing is the fact that it released a week before Mario Wonder and Spider-Man 2, but especially Mario Wonder.
It would have sold better if they did not release it at the same time as Mario Wonder.
Yeah,
for sure, because that took up people's time.
Yeah,
it would have sold even more than that if it was a good game.
I don't this idea that it's gonna sell at the same level as Sonic Frontiers, though. Like, there's no way that's gonna happen. This is a 2D side-scrolling Sonic game. Those are usually seen as, like, side projects or, like, you know, inessential compared to, like, the big 3D epics, like a Frontiers or even like a Sonic Forces.
So honestly, Sonic Mania, people loved it, but I don't think it sold that great comparatively. It sold good, but like, compared to some 3D stuff, I don't think it did that.
Yeah.
So that's upsetting because that's a great game.
Yeah.
Sonic Forces, not a great game.
Not a great game. But sold well, though.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That, like, Sega is kind of being incentivized to release crap.
Yeah. But I think they know that, like, you know, they can't keep doing that with Sonic. Because, I mean, like, a 76. I think Sega at this point is like, you know what? We'll take it.
Yeah. I went through a lot of emotions playing through Sonic Superstars, one of the only games I beat this year.
Really?
Yeah. And I got all the Chaos Emeralds.
Right.
I went through a lot of emotions because I liked it, then I didn't like it, then I liked it again, and then I hated it.
Okay.
I think that the problem is it's such a simple game mm-hmm. that it really sucks when there's things wrong, when there's right. things that don't feel right because mm-hmm. of how simple the game is. If there was just a little more care and effort put into it and a little more quality testing and some thought put into yeah. a lot of the aspects, I feel like it could have been something really great, but they didn't do that. And then I was switching back and forth between that and Sonic and Super Mario Wonder.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck, guys? Like, this could have been you.
I'm trying to see what the sales numbers are for Mania, and Wikipedia doesn't have it.
It took a long time for it to sell.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, like, when it first came out, it didn't sell a lot, but it sold a couple million over time. But I think it's only like 3 million or something. Like, that's the number that's sticking out of my head.
I mean, that's a good amount of games.
For a 2D Sonic game, yeah. Yeah, I was looking through the tweet replies to me, mm-hmm. and it's back and forth. Some people are like, yeah, it could have been great. Some people saying they liked how the Chaos Emeralds give you special powers.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that too. Some people saying they hated how the Chaos Emeralds gave you special powers. A lot of people saying that they liked the game. I can't imagine that. I think they just like Sonic. A lot of people saying it would have been better if it was cheaper, which I also kind of agree. I think $60 was a lot to ask for a game like that. And that's pretty much it. All Sonic games feel samey to me. I mean,
to a point.
I get it, but this could have been something good because they did do things different.
Yeah.
But they didn't really capitalize on it, because like what I've said this before, one of my biggest issues is that the Chaos Emeralds give you all these abilities. Once you get all the Chaos Emeralds, they take all the Chaos Emeralds away from you. It's like so fucking annoying. Yeah. Anyway, it was on sale for Black Friday.
Yeah.
So if you were curious about it, if you want a 76 game,
nothing wrong with it. Some of my best friends are 76 games.
John Crawford says, for me, some of the worlds and superstars are super cool and super fun. Some of the boss battles are great too, but then there are annoying slow parts of precision platforming that just don't suit the game style. Still decent overall. So there are it's weird because after playing that alongside Mario Wonder felt really weird because there are parts in every world in Sonic Superstars where they make you do something weird and wacky and like different. Like there's a shmup part.
Right.
And Mario Wonder did it so much better. Like here's a level, let's fucking do something wacky with it. And Sonic Superstars tried that and it didn't work out at all.
Right.
Also, there were a lot of horrible boss fights.
I've heard that's like the big thing is like the boss fights are like the worst part of the game.
There are some very bad boss fights. Yeah. Again, once you get the Chaos Emerald, once you get Super Sonic, there's a boss that takes your rings away so you can't do Super Sonic. Anyway, now we could talk about Xbox.
Yes.
But first, Original Spiff, thanks for the 21 months. Did anyone talk about the 3D Sonic game added to Apple Arcade yet? Yeah, we talked about how we just downloaded it.
Yeah.
Sonic Dream Team. So I'll be playing that later. Willow Davis, thank you for the raid. Oh, hello. All of Willow's people. How you doing? Welcome to the Xbox podcast now.
I think your external GPU is sitting on my laptop cable.
Oh. Oopsies.
Bitch is heavy.
Should plug that into... to your laptop.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it. It wouldn't do anything. Where the hell am I going to put that thing?
I don't know. That's a you problem.
Bob, if I send you my Miu Mini, the answer is no. would you do the GB Pocket conversion? I actually have one for that, but I think the screen might be fucked up. I'm not sure. I keep doing this thing where I get an idea for something, buy all the materials for it, and then never touch it again. So I got to stop doing that.
All right, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Got everything going over
there? Yes, we're all okay.
All right. We're talking about Xbox now.
Yes. Microsoft stopped announcing Xbox console sales because it cares more about content services.
Yeah, of course.
I smell a lie. Microsoft stopped announcing Xbox console sales some time ago, a move most believe was at least in part because they compare poorly to sales of PlayStation consoles and Nintendo Switch. But according to one Xbox executive, that has nothing to do with it. Speaking at the Wells Fargo 2023 TMT Summit, Xbox Chief Financial Officer Tim Stewart insisted Microsoft decided to quit publishing console sales because console sales alone do not paint the full picture of the health of the Xbox business. About 6 or 7 years ago, we stopped giving console volume externally, he said. And at first it was like, what are you doing? You're the Xbox business. You're not giving us consoles. That makes no sense. But it was really the first point of us saying, no, it's about content services. Our business is PXP. That stands for the product of price and quantity. More customers spending more money. And that's really how I think about our model. So when we talk about content and services externally, that's our key performance indicator. And for that number to go up, you need more gamers and you need more gamers spending more money. And we've really focused on that with our external teams. And we've really focused on that with our internal teams as a, here's how we grow the business, go bring more users in and find ways for them to play. And it goes a little bit too. And my last point here is about the business model. We call it business model optimization, but really business model diversity. And if a gamer comes in, they can subscribe to Game Pass. They can buy a game digitally. They can have an advertising to fund their game that way. And so, however they want to monetize, they're trying to find a way for them to spend money with us. And we've seen that as a very, very good accelerant in this content and services landscape. That's a lot of way to say we don't want the sales of the Xbox console to be the focus of what makes the Xbox brand healthy.
Yeah, because they can't be doing good with console sales.
Yes.
They can't be doing good. And I kind of believe them when they're saying that you know that they've been focusing on other things like subscription services and stuff. So when they want to report to their investors and stuff how well Xbox is doing,
mm-hmm.
they have to include all of that stuff. So if everyone's looking at console sales, they're going to look bad.
Yeah.
So it only makes sense for them to be like, instead of looking at that, let's look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
But that also means they could only report the numbers in a way that sounds great.
Yeah, like, okay, Game Pass might be doing very well, but, you know, that still doesn't answer the question, like, how many Xboxes you have on the market. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people still think in order to use Game Pass, because it's called Xbox Game Pass, you need an actual Xbox. People might not be subscribing to it because they don't know you can play it on PC or on your phone.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of marketing things they could do differently with that.
So, and also too, like, it's well known Microsoft sells their Xboxes at a loss. They don't make profit on it. So they are just bleeding money for these consoles. But if they're making money on the subscription services, then they really don't need to make the consoles anymore.
Yeah, I think that it's possible that we have a future where they are not making consoles.
Yeah.
Or I think it's more reasonable to expect them to just not care about the consoles. Like, they'll make a console as like a honorary thing to be like, look, we're in the console race, we're one of the three console manufacturers, but in reality they are hoping that you will just buy the game on PC or Xbox or play it wherever you want. I think that they are focusing on developing ways for you to play it in as many places as possible.
Well, I mean, they did just buy like 1,000 studios, mm-hmm. so they have all these teams that like need to make games and stuff. They got to start, you know, doing stuff with them. And it's either, you know, we have all these internal studios that could finally make good Xbox exclusives, or we become a third party publisher. Which they kind of are, but also aren't.
So that's another thing, is that they could just decide, you know what, consoles aren't our thing. Mm. We are just a massive publisher now.
Yeah.
I forgot about this. We should talk about this, though. Okay. We got a lot of Microsoft stuff to talk about.
Yes. You want to do the app update?
Yeah, I forgot. We should talk. Oh, wait. Is that the Xbox mobile app? Is that?
Yes.
It's
in the docket.
Okay. I didn't think about that. Okay, I'm moving yours. It's the same article.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yes.
Microsoft updated the Xbox app on PC. So it's not mobile. It's a PC app.
I meant mobile handheld. PC, yeah.
The Xbox app on PC now has a new compact mode specifically for Windows handhelds.
Yes. The company has been testing the compact mode, but thanks to an update to the Xbox PC app, you can now try it for yourself, according to an Xbox Wire blog post. The big change for compact mode is that the sidebar collapses down into icons, meaning that the sidebar takes up less real estate. The new mode should work well with devices like the Asus ROG Ally and Lenovo's Legion Go. And Microsoft says it's working with Asus and other manufacturers to ensure that compact mode is enabled by default on your handheld. The Xbox PC app will also now only show unread notifications when you look at the notification dropdown, and is getting a gamer service repair tool to help you troubleshoot issues. There are a few improvements for Xbox consoles too, including the ability to pick specific Japanese keyboard
layouts. Oh, nice. So I immediately tried to do this on my Lenovo Legion Go. Can't do it.
Okay.
It just refused to update. And there's like a way you go on their website and you download the update. Mm-hmm. Refused to update there either. It kept like erroring out and doing all the shit. And then now I think I uninstalled the Xbox app.
Yeah.
Tried to reinstall it and it wouldn't. So now I just don't have an Xbox app.
But what about on your Ally?
Didn't try. You know what I did instead?
What?
I just put this Steam in big picture mode and I set it to launch in big picture mode by default. So now there when I go. Turn on my Lenovo Legion Go, it just is a Steam Deck. And I don't know how the Xbox app works. What if I want to launch Valorant, let's say, which is not an Xbox app.
Right.
Actually, I take that back. It is part of Barry's Game Pass functionality.
Yeah.
What if I want to launch Fortnite, let's say?
Yeah.
Would I be able to do that on the Xbox app? Like my plan is like I want Microsoft to have their own launcher on Windows handhelds. That would make them so much better. That would make them so much easier to recommend. And I don't think Xbox allows you. I don't know if the Xbox app will allow you to open up other apps that aren't Xbox apps.
Right.
Whereas Steam, you can have things as non-Steam games.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It works just like a Steam Deck. Everything just works. It's great. Mm-hmm. So I just did that, and I think that's just what I'm going to do instead. Now, another thing, you look at this. This is what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
You look at this.
Yeah.
You see that little arrow right there?
Yeah.
What do you think happens when you click on that?
Go back?
I think you're right. I think it does go back. Like, look, the whole thing with compact mode
is that open it up again.
It collapses the icons on the left.
Right.
That's all it does. Right. That's all it's doing is that. Why doesn't the arrow do that? I thought the arrow, because I thought that's what that would be doing.
I don't know.
I was really excited about this, and then I realized it's just the same app. It just, the sidebar's collapsed, so who even cares?
Well, I'm sure it helps.
Yeah, whatever. But I need a full Windows UI that is specifically for gaming.
That might be harder, you know, than anticipated, because you're basically building, you know, because Windows has a very distinct UI.
Yeah.
And they probably have to, like, not like rebuild it from scratch, but like enter in new code to create an entire Windows experience.
We talked about it last week. The tiles for Windows, what, 7?
8.
8? Yeah. Windows 8 tiles.
Yeah.
Just that. That loads first, and then the whole OS is behind it. Right. You know?
But that's like...
That would be great.
That's like a whole other GUI on top of like the actual operating system. Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I wouldn't mind this if it loaded first.
Right.
But I think it still loads Windows and then the Xbox app loads. I want to just be in the handheld ecosystem.
Right.
As it is right now, when I turn on my Lenovo Legion Go, it takes a while and then Steam OS opens or Steam Big Picture mode. So... I'm not satisfied with this update. Also, because I couldn't fucking do it. Yeah. So I'll have to try it on my ROG Ally. I heard other people having similar problems. And they said the only solution was reinstalling Windows, which I refused to do. And I have heard other issues with Xbox. Like, I think Wood has never gotten Game Pass to work on PC.
Hmm.
It just won't let him log in. Anyway... 60-bit Gambit, thanks for 31 months. Snake Eater, thanks for the 100 bits. I had no idea, and it surprised me. My Samsung Smart TV has an Xbox app that I can stream games from without a console hooked up to the TV. Kind of cool. That is cool.
That is cool.
I think that's something Microsoft will be focusing on, too. There are a bunch of Smart TV integration stuff. All right. Where are we? Microsoft wants Game Pass.
Yes.
On Switch.
So at that same Wells Fargo TMT summit, Tim Stewart said, it's been a bit of a change of strategy, not announcing anything broadly here, but our mission is to bring our first-party experiences and our subscription services to every screen that can play games. That means smart TVs. That means mobile devices. That means what we would have thought of as competitors in the past, like PlayStation and Nintendo. Stewart said that Game Pass is a high-margin business for Microsoft, along with first-party games and advertising. These are all areas that Microsoft plans to expand into significantly in the time ahead. The executive added that buying Activision Blizzard helps Microsoft get there faster than they might have been able to do on their own. For the advertising part specifically, the Candy Crush mobile game series from King, which is now owned by Microsoft, is deeply embedded with ads and microtransactions. For Game Pass on rival consoles, it makes sense that Microsoft would want to do this because it would expand the reach of the subscription service to a much larger audience. Whether or not Sony or Nintendo would allow Game Pass on their console is another question. For its part, Sony previously blocked EA Access, now called EA Play, saying it did not represent a good value for PlayStation users.
Yeah, I mean... I would love nothing more than Game Pass on the Switch.
I think when we saw like Ori and the Blind Forest go on Switch, and like the fact that like this was the early days of Game Pass, and they're saying like you can play the game on your Xbox, your PC, or your phone, and everyone's like, "Oh, the next step is the Switch." Like that's what people have wanted since they announced it.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be great, but it would be a bad business decision from Nintendo because you would be allowing people to buy to use their Xbox subscription to play a game for free on the Switch. Nintendo doesn't make any money off of
that. Well, Nintendo made money off of the sale of the console.
Barely.
There's that. If you own a Switch, you're probably going to own a couple Mario games.
Okay.
You know, think about it. No, seriously.
You're saying it would be a marketing thing for them to allow Xbox Game Pass to
I don't think Nintendo allowing Game Pass on Switch, or more likely the Switch competitor, I don't think that negatively impacts Nintendo's business at all.
Right.
Because you still need to get a Switch. You're probably buying, again, multiple Switches. You know, you're definitely getting Nintendo games because people buy Nintendo consoles for Nintendo games.
Well, that's the thing. There's an argument to be had that if you're like a PC gamer and you want to play Ori and the Blind Forest everywhere, and you're like, oh, wait, I could play my game. I can use my Game Pass subscription on a Switch.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get a Switch.
Yeah.
And then what's this Mario about? You buy Mario games, and now all of a sudden you're a Nintendo fan.
Yeah.
But
I think if anything, it hurts Microsoft because. A lot of people I've seen, they have a PS5 and a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an Xbox. And for them, if Microsoft went ahead and said, we're going to put Game Pass on Switch, that gives people even less incentive to go and buy an Xbox because they can just play it on Switch.
Yeah, but it gives them a lot of incentive to continue their Game Pass subscription.
Right.
You know? And that's all they want. They just don't want people to cancel their Game Pass subscriptions. Mm. I think the right now, 130 million people have Switches.
Yeah.
So, unless you count people like me who have seven, then there's some overlap there. Let's say 100 million people have Switches.
Right.
They will then be incentivized to get Game Pass and get and play their games through that, not through the eShop. If there's games like Ori and the Blind Forest and like mm-hmm. Cuphead and stuff like that, that's yeah. what I'm saying would be a bad value for Nintendo. But if their goal is to grow, then yeah, it would be interesting to see people who don't have Switches move over to it specifically for the Game Pass. But yeah. I just don't think there's many more people who don't have Switches, you know.
Well, it's all a moot point because during an interview with Windows Central, Microsoft Game CEO Phil Spencer provided an update mentioning how there are actually no plans to bring Game Pass to PlayStation or Nintendo. Here's exactly what he had to say. We have no plans to bring Game Pass to PlayStation or Nintendo. It is not in our plan.
Interesting.
He probably had to say that.
Yeah. Are there emails saying that he did?
There were emails saying he wanted to buy Nintendo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not moving the Game Pass to Nintendo. We want to buy them.
I'm sure that there's somewhere deep in the bowels of Microsoft, there's a timeline for like Phil Spencer and Satya Nadella and like all the other like higher ups at Microsoft are like, at what point do we just give up and put Game Pass on Switch? Like that is on the board.
Well,
it has never been taken off the board. It is on the board. They just need to find a time to pull the trigger.
I think that's not their call. I think Microsoft would love to have it on the Switch. Mm-hmm. It's Nintendo that's the problem.
Again, I don't necessarily...
We've talked about this before, how Xbox and Nintendo have a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's really... Xbox is giving a lot to Nintendo.
It's definitely a one-way street.
Yeah, and Nintendo's absolutely not contributing like at all. Yeah, that's I feel like they want it and Nintendo is not going to give it to them. And PlayStation would never.
No.
PlayStation, yeah. No. They're like, fuck you guys.
The big thing, what they should do, mm-hmm. is there should be some sort of handshake agreement. And Game Pass goes on Switch. This will never happen.
Okay.
Game Pass goes on Switch. NES and SNES and GBA Switch Online games go on
Xbox. That would be sick.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I think that's what you do. You have to have a Switch Online account to play the Nintendo games on Xbox. You have to have a Game Pass account to play the Xbox games on Switch. I think that's the business model that needs to happen, you know, with the good partnership that can, you know, put some fear in Sony right there. They're partnering up.
Yeah,
that's the smart business move. Is it going to happen? No, because Nintendo, famously stubborn company.
That would be really cool to be able to play Nintendo Switch Online stuff on my Xbox.
Yeah.
That would be great. Even though I have an Xbox that's hacked and can do whatever want it to do, but I would still much rather play it legitimately if I had the ability to. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's the future I want now.
I'm full of good ideas.
Is that all the Xbox stuff?
Yes.
Wow. So much happened, and yet so little. Let's talk about Capcom confirms more Resident Evil remakes. Yay. How many could there be?
I mean,
zero?
The original, which already got a remake. Zero.
Hold on. I'm having a stroke.
Okay.
So on the GameCube.
Yes.
We had Resident Evil 1 remake.
Yes.
And we had Zero, which was the same kind of game.
It was the prequel to 1.
But it was a brand new game.
Yeah.
Were there any other remakes around the GameCube era? Was it just one?
It was just one. And then they ported 2 and 3 and Code Veronica to GameCube. Those were ports.
Okay.
Those are not remakes.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah. So, and those go for a lot of money now. If you see them, like buy them, they're very expensive.
I did not know that.
Yeah. After the success of Resident Evil 2, 3, and 4 remakes, Capcom has confirmed plans to continue the trend, although stopped short of announcing which Resident Evil game is next in line for the remake treatment. At a PlayStation Partner Awards event in Japan, attended and translated by IGN Japan, Resident Evil 4 Remake director Yasuhiro Anpo.
Where are we? Oh, Anpo, yeah.
Anpo, thank you. Said the company will announce its next Resident Evil remake in due course. Yes, Anpo replied when asked if Capcom wants to keep making Resident Evil remakes. We've released three remakes so far, and they've all been received very well. Since it allows a modern audience to play these games, it is something I am happy to do as someone that loves these older games and wants to continue doing more. What game we will remake in the future is something that we would like to announce in the future, so please look forward to it.
They were basically asked if they want to keep printing money.
Yeah.
I guess Resident Evil 1 is going to be the next one.
Well, logic dictates they did 2, 3, and 4, so next you do 5 and 6. But
they should not do 5. 6 they should pretend doesn't exist.
Yes. The
Code Veronica.
The big one is Code Veronica.
Code Veronica they need to do.
Code Veronica, I think, out of all of them, probably needs an update the most.
That I would play. Yeah. That I would be excited for, because I never did play that one. And a lot of people around the time that it was out,
yeah,
a lot of people were saying that that was their favorite Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
And I never and got Code a chance Veronica, to play.
Like, in terms of like the greater overall Resident Evil story or lore, if you care about that stuff, Code Veronica is the actual Resident Evil 3. Resident Evil 3 is more of like a side story. Like, that's the actual story that progresses the plot of the overall Resident Evil series.
Is it because they got a deal with Sega? Like, to put it on Dreamcast? Is that why?
Well, so they had a deal with Sony that numbered Resident Evil's debut on PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
So it was originally just going to be Resident Evil Nemesis, but when they heard that Code Veronica was going to be like the next big one, they added the 3 to Nemesis to make it like a mainline Resident Evil game.
That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
So, Code Veronica is the actual Resident Evil 3 because it continues the story.
Yes.
But it was released on Dreamcast and what else? Was it just Dreamcast?
Originally, it was just a Dreamcast game.
Right.
Yeah.
So, why was it just a Dreamcast game?
Because at the time, the Dreamcast had the power to do what they wanted to do in the game. Okay. And eventually got ported to PS2 as Code Veronica X.
Right.
And that's the version you can get now on like 360, subsequently on Xbox One. That's not on Switch. But like, that's the most available version now is Code Veronica X. So.
Right. And the Resident Evil 3 was just... because they were like, anything on, we just have to put a 3 on it because it's
if you're going to do another thing. Numbered Resident Evil.
Yeah. So that's okay. So they had a deal with Sony, and that's why that's 3, but they wanted to do Code Veronica and they wanted the most power that they could. So they did it on Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Now I'm all caught up. Resident Evil 0. No, we don't need that. You can forget that one too.
I think
that was good, but like, you don't need it.
I think Resident Evil 1 remake and Resident Evil 0 should stay as they are with like the fixed camera angles and like all that, because those two games, especially the Resident Evil 1 remake, that is the best distillation of classic style Resident Evil
tank controls.
Yes, that still exists and is still playable today. Because like, that was Resident Evil up until Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, on one hand, I love how modern games have been kind of all following the same sort of control scheme and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's making things very stagnant. It's making things feel very vanilla.
Yeah.
So having a game like Resident Evil 1 Remake, where you move around in a weird, unconventional way, is interesting. And it's unfortunate that we don't have games like that anymore.
I think, and I've been saying this for a long time, they should just stop remaking Resident Evil games and just, if anything, just remake Dino Crisis.
Yeah, because, we should get a Dino Crisis.
Because, like, yeah, it would be the same thing. It would be like a Resident Evil 4 style remake of Dino Crisis, but it'll have dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are very different from zombies.
Yes. I would like to see Code Veronica be remade.
Yeah, but if anything,
then do Dino Crisis.
Yeah, Code Veronica makes the most sense, but just fucking do Dino Crisis.
Okay. Sony's taking away all your money.
Something like that. PlayStation to delete tons of TV shows users already paid for. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes sense because the stuff they're deleting is discovery content. The promise of digital media is that it can last forever, pristine and undisturbed by the forces of entropy consistently buffering on the material world. Unfortunately, a mess of online DRM and licensing agreements means that we mostly don't own the stuff we buy digitally, as most recently evidenced by the fact that Sony is about to delete Mythbusters, Naked and Afraid, and tons of other Discovery shows from PlayStation users' libraries, even if they already purchased them. The latest pothole in the road, Neiman Marcus ad, the latest pothole in the road to an all-digital future was discovered via a warning Sony recently sent out to PlayStation users who purchased TV shows made by Discovery, the reality TV network that recently merged with Warner Brothers in one of the most brutal and idiotic corporate maneuvers of our time. Their words, but I agree with it. Due to our content licensing agreements with content providers, you will no longer be able to watch any of your previously purchased Discovery content, and the content will be removed from your video library. Read a copy of the email that was shared with Kotaku. It linked to a page on the PlayStation website listing all of the shows impacted. As you might imagine, given Discovery's penchant for pumping out seasons of relatively cheap to produce but popular reality TV and documentary based shows, there are a lot of them. They include, but are not limited to, hits such as Say Yes to the Dress, Shark Week, Cake Boss, Long Island Medium, Represent,
not Long Island Medium,
Deadly Women, and many more. Is there any way I could save this content? Asked one Panics PlayStation user over on Reddit. I use a PS4, but I have bought many seasons of shows such as Dual Survival that I do not wish to lose. I was under the impression that since I own it, I would never lose it. Movies and TV shows first became to the PlayStation Network in 2008. Via the PlayStation 3. At the time, it was possible to transfer content you bought between devices for viewing on things like the PlayStation Portable. Sony removed that option beginning with the PlayStation 4 and beyond. Now, essentially anything you buy on the PSN, whether a PlayStation 5 Blockbuster or Police Women of Cincinnati, real show, is essentially just on indefinite loan until such time as the PlayStation servers die or the original copyright owner decides to pull the content.
So, when I first saw this article, I erroneously assumed that the name of the service that we were losing was called PlayStation Discovery, not that it was Discovery TV on PlayStation.
Yeah, it specifically shows you buy on the PlayStation Network from the Discovery Channel are going away. And there's nothing you can do about it.
That's very strange. That's very strange that, I mean, things like that happen, but it's really weird that Sony just does not give a fuck. Like, that seems like something that Sony and Discovery needed to make some sort of deal about.
And I'm surprised that they haven't. I mean, I haven't heard of this happening with, like, other providers. As far as I know, you can still get them on iTunes, you can still get it on Xbox, on the Microsoft Store, on Amazon, on like all the other video platforms out there. This is only in regards to Sony and the PlayStation Network. When I heard it was Discovery, it didn't shock me because this is the same company that put Batgirl in a vault somewhere for you to never see, and that Scooby-Doo movie they were making, and the fucking Wile E. Coyote movie starring John Cena that they just canceled, you know, that was done and people were like viewing and like saying it wasn't bad. So this is, so the fact that this is Warner Brothers Discovery doing it doesn't surprise me at all. This, you know, virus that's just spreading, you know, throughout the entertainment industry into like the video game sphere. But it is indicative of a much larger problem in that the digital stuff you own, you don't actually own it.
Yeah, there should have been contingencies here.
Yeah.
Like if people bought it, we need it on our servers so that they can continue to to download it. At least for like the next 10 years until there's no more people trying to re-download it anymore, you know?
You know, because it's shit like that that leads to people just wanting to pirate your stuff.
Yeah, you know? There should have. We need to have better. I mean, this whole thing is still new to people, so I hope that in the future, some executives realize this and they build these contingencies into the deals that they have.
I mean, probably not, because, you know, it's all about like making the most money possible. Mm-hmm. And building contingencies seems like a waste of time. Again, you know, bringing back, you know, David Zaslav, he put Batgirl in a vault as a tax write-off because he figured he'd make more money that way than if the movie actually got released. Meanwhile, he thought releasing The Flash was a good idea. That movie didn't make any money. They tried to sell it as an NFT to try to get profits from it.
I heard very bad things.
I will never forgive that man for canceling Batgirl in favor of The Flash.
All right, last thing, analog update.
Yes.
I thought, I was like, oh no, the analog duo, should I care? No.
The analog duo will be begin shipping December 11th and will be delivered before Christmas. An email will be sent out to all customers with a pre-order for any address changes. Any duo address changes need to be sent in by December 8th.
What's the analog duo?
That's their TurboGrafx system. Right. It does the Hue card cartridges, and it also has a disk drive. So wow. You can play the TurboGrafx disc games. It's cool. I would love to have one if I owned any TurboGrafx games, which I do not.
Yeah. White analog pocket docks.
Well, hold on. You're cut. Slow your roll.
Okay, I'm sorry.
First off, there's analog pocket restock. The analog pocket will be restocked on December 4th. That was yesterday. And will be delivered before Christmas. Additional pocket restock will go live on December 8th. At 8 a.m. Pacific, and will ship starting in February of 2024.
Is it sold out already?
It might be. And yes, Bob, an analog dock in white. It is a limited edition dock available December 4th alongside the pocket restock. That's probably gone already.
It is already gone.
Yeah.
You cannot get one by Christmas.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
All in-stock orders placed before December 11th, 2023 will be delivered before Christmas. Update to Pocket OS. Pocket OS 1.2 will be released early in December. It fixes many important bugs, adds new controller support, updates Nano Loop, and adds open FPGA developer features. OS 2.0 will release before Christmas, featuring original display mode support for open FPGA and a new CRT Trinitron original display mode.
Oh, a Trinitron. That's cool.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that the white version of the dock is $30 more.
Yes.
That is very, very dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, the special edition versions of the other, of the console were also $30 more. Yeah. But this is a dock.
Yeah.
And it's usually only $100. Mm-hmm. So charging $30 more is sucks. A lot of money. Sucks, yeah. And also, it's just white. It's not like it's transparent. It's not like it's glow in the dark. It is just white. One of the basic ass colors that they offer.
Yeah.
That's very stupid. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Also, why did it take this long?
I know. I'm surprised. I could have assumed that a white dock was part of the launch lineup.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw this. I was like, wait, that wasn't available already? Because, again,
I guess not.
The white one was available at launch. It was black and white. Do you have a white one?
I have a black one.
You have a black one. Yeah. I also have a black one.
Oh, yeah. What happened? Also have the glow-in-the-dark one.
I also have the glow-in-the-dark one. I got a lot of things.
Yeah. And last bit, the Pocket Adapter Set release date. The Pocket Adapter Set has been delayed and will be shipping in late February 2024. We apologize for the inconvenience and appreciate your patience. We are looking forward to getting these into everyone's hands, and note that pocket adapters are supported with open FPGA. As always, if you'd like to cancel your pre-order at any time, we have no questions asked, 100% refund. Please feel free to contact analog support at any time.
So what do I have? I have the Game Gear adapter.
I think that's the only one that was released when it went live.
Okay.
The adapter set, like the whole set, is a TurboGrafx 16, Neo Geo Pocket, and Atari Lynx.
Okay, I don't think I have any of those.
No.
I have all of these cables. That's what it is. I have the freaking Game Gear adapter and then every cable imaginable. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, guys, that's all the news.
Hey, that means...
Oh, do you think it's... Is that playing? Did that play? Oh, it did play.
Okay.
All right. That means Tweet of the Week time. Here it is, and Tweet of the Week time. Okay. It's this. This is Discussing Film says Wes Ball says he wants his live action Legend of Zelda movie to be like a live action Miyazaki movie.
Right.
And then it was quote tweeted by Samuel Dietz, and it's a person whispering into another person's ear, just animate it.
I mean, they're not wrong. They should probably just animate it. I think, you know, we're seeing an animation revolution. Specifically, Guillermo del Toro is like getting out there telling people, you got to make more animated movies. Animated movies are great. They're not just for kids. Look at my Pinocchio movie.
Look at it.
Look at the new Ninja Turtles movie. It was art. It was cinema. He actually said that.
Oh, wow.
So like there's a big push for like different kinds of animated movies that fall outside of like the Disney style animated movie. And I think a Legend of Zelda movie would be the perfect movie for that. The perfect example of that. But again, I think like there's something about a live action adaptation that like sets people's prestige meters going off, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. I would like to see Guillermo del Toro back in video games.
I think he's like given up.
He's given up, but because, I hope that there's some faith instilled on him again.
I think like he could definitely like with the right people make a great video game.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to make Unsane with THQ. THQ went out of business. He was going to make Silent Hills with Del Toro. That fell with, make Silent Hills with Kojima. That fell apart. So I think he thinks he's bad luck in video games.
Yes. It's just a hard industry to make anything in.
Yeah.
Scooberto from last week's Wolf Den podcast says, hi, Bob and Will. Started listening this year. Big fan. Bob, I wanted to get into repairing old game cartridges and old handheld consoles. If I like it enough, maybe even modding. Any recommendations on what kind of solder or tools I should get for a beginner? Thanks. I got a kit on Amazon that was like $20. Just get one of them. It comes with solder. It comes with a soldering iron. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's not a great soldering iron, but for $20, it'll get you going. Then eventually you can upgrade to something a little better. If you're gonna be repairing old consoles like a Game Boy, just do the screen mods. They're surprisingly easy. Mm-hmm. And the best way to learn is to just jump headfirst into it and just do it. And for cartridges, the easiest thing to do is just replace the battery on a Pokemon cartridge.
Yeah.
It's two solder joints. You just rip the battery out, put a new battery in, it's great. Just make sure you don't want the save file.
Yeah.
If you want the save file, you're gonna lose
it. I know
it.
There are ways to like back up that save file. There's even ways to swap the battery and not lose your save file, but it's like pretty complicated.
Yeah. Oh, so. No, you do it while the system's on.
Yeah.
You swap the battery while the system's on, which I don't recommend doing.
Yeah, don't do that.
There are products you can get that dump the save, which are pretty cool. But I think the easiest thing is to just not care about the save file. that's my advice. Tiller from last week says, Will, are there any good comics you're digging right now? Personally, really high on Kill Your Darlings from Image and Mark Waid's World's Finest book.
So Mark Waid's World's Finest Batman Superman is actually my favorite book on the market right now. So good on you. If you like that, check out his sister series, The World's Finest Teen Titans, set in the same era. And it's also very good. The current Wonder Woman series by Tom King, it's three issues in and it's fantastic. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Superman 78 The Metal Curtain, written by Robert Venditti and illustrated by a friend of the show, Gavin Guidry. Issue 2 came out today. It's perfecto. I'm reading a lot of DC right now, not because I have anything against Marvel, it's just what's interesting me at the moment. And those are the big ones. The World's Finest books, Wonder Woman, Superman 78 The Metal Curtain. I'll also throw in Tom Taylor's Nightwing is excellent. So there you go, read all of those.
I was gonna write this in the chat, but I'll just say it. Otaku Sam says, what's the ETA on the desk mats? We have new desk mats over at wolfdenapparel.com. They are making it into port I think Thursday. So I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I'd imagine they might start shipping on Monday.
Okay.
So I hope that's the case. Anyway. D. Bumble. I just don't believe that a subsidiary of a $274.5 billion company is an indie studio. There's just something not right about calling that indie.
I agree
that it definitely confuses things.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a better, clearer definition of what an indie game is and what constitutes independent.
But also, like, how much is the budget on that game? Like, it, the owner of the company, the company that owns the company,
right,
is $300 billion company, but how much are they allotting to that one team?
Well, budget and the budget of the game, the size of the team,
yeah,
I think is important.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like, you know, independent is supposed to be, like, outside of the AAA studio space. And, you know, $274.5 billion is certainly a AAA studio.
If that, if they even have access to that, you know? Charlie Fenn says, from my experience, Xbox wasn't huge growing up here in the UK. I'm still on the younger side, I guess, 26, but
baby.
Most... What?
I'm going to worry about
that. But most people I know, most people I knew had a PlayStation console and a Nintendo handheld at least until the Wii. The 360 gave it a slight boost, but even then, not by much, and then haven't, and they haven't really, and they haven't exactly had the best years since then either. I'll be honest, here in America, Xbox didn't hit their stride until 360.
Yeah, but then like after 360, they had a massive drop-off. So everyone I knew at least switched over to PlayStation.
Yeah, the 360 was the heyday of Microsoft, or Xbox, I mean.
It's interesting they bring up most people they knew had a PlayStation and a Nintendo handheld. I know, I might have talked about this before on the show, I know for a fact the PlayStation 1 outsold the Nintendo 64 by a lot. It's like 110 PlayStations to like, I think 110 million PlayStations, like 40 million Nintendo 64s. However, growing up, all of our friends had Nintendo 64s.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. I think I knew two people who had PlayStations.
Yeah, I knew
and
one.
That was it.
Yeah.
So the reality doesn't mesh with what our reality was in this weird little Long Island bubble that we were in.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm trying to like, still trying to like figure out like how that happened. How like on Long Island, Nintendo 64 was the king, but everywhere else in the world, it was PlayStation.
In America?
Worldwide.
I think worldwide, it would make a little bit of sense for Sony to do very well.
Yeah.
Here in America, I understand why Nintendo did, because we were familiar and then.
Well, I think even still in America, Sony outsold Nintendo.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Josh Springer? Whatever your name is. Each Japanese train station might also have their own mascots, too. I know that each prefecture has a mascot.
Right.
I didn't know the train stations do, because we talked about last week how they all have their own jingle.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know about a mascot. All right, now we're in the chat.
Okay.
Hello. Hey, Wolf Bros.
That's us.
Bob, you've made a Game Boy with Wood and with Elliot. When can we expect Game Boy build with Will? Maybe Will's dream Game Boy. That could be when we have nothing else better to do.
So... do you remember a while ago when I like pre-ordered the GameCube shell?
Oh yeah.
On the pretense that like if I use the credit card, you can make content on it.
No, I don't remember that part. I don't remember. We bought you GameCube shell. Okay.
You sent me the link on Twitter, and I said, "Can I put this on the company card? You can make a video out of it." And you said, "Yes."
Okay, I did not. I don't remember that at all.
That's been running on like 2 years now, like the pre-order. And I like emailed them like, "What's going on?" I saw like we're at the home stretch, and I haven't heard back from them yet. So
I didn't even. There's shells now. Like there's shells available.
Are there? Because like this I've is when like shelves. They first came out.
Game. It's like transparent, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the ones. It's
I've seen it before.
I've got to like because I
literally bought... Handheld Legends has them. You could just buy one.
Are those the ones?
$65.
Well, I spent a lot more.
I don't know if this one's good.
I gotta check because like I bought it from Castlevania Games, but then Castlevania Games became like something else.
Oh really?
Yeah.
AliExpress has them.
They're like Rondo something now.
I bet you whoever you bought it from is just buying just it, from, buy AliExpress. It from AliExpress. $42. Well, I mean, I don't know much about the one that you pre-ordered. Maybe it's better for some reason, but you could just buy it on Handheld Legends. They're available right now.
Okay.
Clear purple, well, clear black, clear white.
Well, I might as well like just figure out what's going on. I don't want to waste company money here.
Okay. I mean, we could do that. We could. So I want to redo this whole set.
Yeah.
Eventually. The only issue is like, you know, like doing a there's no like surface to like, yeah. do something on. So that might have to change. But anyway. What else? I do wonder, there is a Game Boy Advance XL screen mod if those exist. Game Boy Advance XL screen mod. Make a Game Boy Advance screen bigger? I don't think so. I haven't seen anything like that. Bob, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Super Nintendo World Donkey Kong Country expansion opening in 2024. That's because I'm not that interested in that.
I feel like they're making a really big push for like Donkey Kong to be the next big thing. Between that and like the rumors of the spinoff movie with Seth Rogen,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like big things are coming for DK.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't of all of them, like I feel like a Hyrule world would make a lot more sense.
Maybe.
Bob, do you have the Ambernic RG35XX Plus? They claim that it has been shipped to me, but I gotta check the P.O. box. I haven't received it. That hopefully will be next week's video if I have it. Any thoughts on the video game awards this week? No, we did our rankings of what we think should win, but
I mean, we'll probably do a recap of it
like
on the show.
We're going to do one on Friday. The Nintendo podcast this week has been moved to Friday specifically so we could talk about the Game Awards.
Right.
And then I'm sure we'll do a brief one on the Wolf Den podcast. Hey, Bob, what keyboard do you recommend that has light-up keys to see in the dark and has adjustable colors and does not feel cheap? If you want a cheap one, cheap... meaning like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Akko has some pretty good ones. 8-bit Do's keyboard's really good, but it doesn't have light up keys. If you want a real nice one, the GMMK Pro. Type in exclamation point keyboard, and then you'll get a couple keyboard recommendations. The GMMK Pro is awesome, but it's like $500.
Yeah.
Also, if you go to KBD fans, you can go to pre-built. They're pretty expensive, but there's a lot of great ones over there. Newfie. Yeah, Newfie has some good keyboards too. What else? With Xbox wanting to bring their services to more consoles or at least showing interest, do you think they'll work with Valve to make a Game Pass app for Steam? I don't see Steam doing it. I think so. I think that that's something they've probably been thinking about.
Well, when the Steam Deck came out, like Microsoft was working on like a way to get Windows running on the Steam Deck. Like there were all those like firmware updates.
So Valve was working on a way to get Windows to work on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Also, Xbox at launch of the Steam Deck had a tutorial on their own website, Xbox.com, their own support on how to get Game Pass to run on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
And it was extremely complicated.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they are working on a way to get the app to just straight up work on Linux. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then it would be easy from there. GMMK Pro is overpriced. I own one. It's mid at best now. Newfie or Keychron? No. Keychron, I don't like. I burned through two of those.
I think that's one I have.
Okay, I burned through one of those. No, I've had three, I think.
Right.
I think I've had three. Newfie is pretty good. But I the GMMK Pro is expensive, but I think it's reasonable. Because you see, I have the GMMK Pro right there. It's the one that's lit up.
Yeah.
Next to it is another one right. that was also like $400.
Jesus Christ.
And they're comparable.
Yeah.
I think that they're both extremely good. But again, you could just go to kbdfans.com and look at the pre-builts and you could find a pretty great one over there. But they're also pretty expensive. And if you want one that feels like that and is also customizable, but you want it for very cheap, get an Akko keyboard. There was Corsair made some really nice cheap keyboards, and then they stopped making them. They made them for like a year and then stopped. I don't know what happened. Did you explain the cookie milk? No. I made a Instagram video. Okay. That I haven't posted yet. So, no, I have not explained the cookie milk, and I won't.
So there.
Until I post the Instagram video on Instagram.com/WolfDenCoffee. Is that the one?
I don't know. It's your account.
Gamer Dad Coqui, thank you for the 300 bits. Hey, Wolf Bros, can't wait to watch the podcast tomorrow on YouTube. Have a great night. You have a great
you
night.
You have a great
How
night.
How about that? Yeah. You have a great night. I'm also thinking, here's a new thing, I think, I'll just say it. I think at the beginning of next year, I think we're going to dual stream this to YouTube.
Sacre bleu.
Junior Moser, thanks for the Prime. Hey, Bob and Will, glad the podcast isn't ending anytime soon. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Did you see Digital Foundry's video on Batman Arkham Trilogy Switch port? Not yet.
I didn't watch it, but I did see the title and thumbnail, and they didn't seem to like it.
I forgot whose video I saw on... Oh, it was Modern Vintage Gamers, but he just did Arkham Knight. It seems like Arkham Knight is the problem,
yeah.
Which we all assumed it would be.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
He tried overclocking his Switch, trying to get it to run smoother, and that still didn't work. So there's a lot going on with Arkham Knight that... needs to happen before it can even like be functional. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, we're done. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank everybody. You for tuning in. Thank you for watching us. Thank you for chatting with us. As always, the Wolf Den podcast is every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on twitch.tv/wolfden. For now, if you can't make the show for any reason at all, we always put it up as an archive version over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/wolfdenpodcast, so you can go and check us out over there on demand whenever you like. But if you prefer to listen to us rather than watch us, you can do that as well, because we're also an audio podcast on any and every audio podcast service such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But no matter where you get this show from, folks, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us, because that helps us with placement on all of those respective platforms.
I might co-stream the Game Awards on Thursday here on twitch.tv/wolfden. I'll have a video out hopefully on Thursday as well about the Ein Odin 2 finally. It's very good. I like it a lot. It's also very expensive, so it's hard to recommend. Thanks for being here. I'm gonna raid Jackson. He's on. He's playing Resident Evil 4 because he's going through all the Game Award games. I'll see y'all later. Where's the bye button? There it is.
Bye!